So she's here to share with us today. So please give Michelle Reynolds a great big hand.
Good morning, Vineyard Community Church. Give God a hand praise. Come on, you can do better than that. We're talking about the Lord that we serve, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I am very excited to be back here with your ministry today on behalf of my husband and I from Common Ground Destiny Center Church, Dr. Ulrich Reynolds, our senior pastor, our congregation, the Common Ground Destiny Center Church. I just greet you in the name of the Lord, and I thank you for the invitation to come back and just share a message that God gave me today with you. Let us pray. Lord, we just thank you right now, God, for the opportunity, oh God, to fellowship. We thank you for the opportunity, oh God, to hear your word, Lord God, and to not just be hearers but doers of your word, Lord. Now, I just pray that you have your way in this church, that you would lead, guide, and direct your servant, that you would decrease me and increase your spirit, Lord God, that the message will get to those that need to receive it, Lord, and that you will accomplish that what I have come to do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So this morning, the Lord really gave me a message for this church, and we're going to have a conversation about leadership. This is one of my favorite topics to discuss because I'm someone that God has used for a very long time since I was a little girl to just be in leadership roles. And I never lack something to do. My husband will tell you that I'm probably one of the busiest people that he knows, but I'm someone that really likes to get involved in things, and I am a business owner. I own 8 successful businesses under, you know, the ministry that my husband and I have with the Destiny Center. And God has just used me to do amazing things. But I'm not the only one in this room that God has used to do amazing things. Each and every one of you have an anointing and a call in your life for leadership. God has called and challenged you with a God-given assignment that he has given you before the foundation of the earth. And sometimes those assignments, whether it be big or small, it's something that he's calling you to lead in. And the challenge is that oftentimes he'll give you an assignment and you will lead and you will have victories. But how many of you know that there's leadership failures as well? And those are the times when it gets the most frustrating because you're like, God, I know you gave me this assignment, whether it's an assignment to be a mother and to lead your family or your kids, if it's assignment to be a husband or a CEO of a company or to start a new ministry or a new business. God has given each and every one of us an area of assignment. And the victories, yes, they come, but also there are times when we feel like we fail despite our best efforts. We've given it all we got and we just say, God, I'm not being effective in this move and I need you to help me. And so today what I'm here to discuss is leadership. Can you say leadership?
Leadership.
Come on, I can't hear you. Leadership.
Leadership.
Turn with me to the book of Isaiah 43:19. I'm going to put that on the screen. This is going to furnish the foundation of our message this morning. And it reads, "Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. I will make a way in the wilderness and streams in the desert." I want you to understand this morning that there is a prophetic shift going on in the body of Christ. God is raising up and refining leaders. He is doing this because we are in a day where everything is just moving so fast. And because things are moving so fast, we are losing opportunities to lead people effectively. So God is changing. There's coming a changing of the guard. But not in the sense of an external changing of the guard. When you think of a changing of the guard, you think of a seat change. You think of people who were in power, who are no longer in power, and now there's a change in leadership. But what God is doing in this season is he's shifting his leaders. He's shifting his leaders from an external change to an internal change. He's changing the way we think, and he's changing the way that we operate. He wants us to have a whole different mindset as it comes and relates to leadership. This is an internal work, and I like to call it leader shift. Why is God changing the way leaders are leading in the kingdom? Like I said, things are just moving so rapidly. We live in an age of technology where we don't have to connect the same way we used to connect. Everything is so impersonal. We send text messages, we get on social media, we stalk Facebook. We don't even have to say hello, but we know everything that's going on about a person in their life, right? Our churches aren't as full as they used to be. So the way that we used to connect with people and evangelize and have them come to church, we have to do all kind of different methods now, right? Because we are competing for their interests. There's so many things out here that's competing for our interests. So instead of changing the different type of leaders, God says, my agenda is not changed. I'm the same God yesterday, today, and forevermore. His agenda has not changed. He has a kingdom agenda. His agenda is to manifest the kingdom of heaven on earth. This is our domicile. This is where we rule. This is where we have dominion. But his agenda has not changed. But the strategies of how we lead have to change with the times. So we find ourselves in this dilemma of how do we lead people when they no longer want to connect or they no longer want to engage? There's so much out there competing for their interests. The answer is leadership. A great example of this is in John Maxwell's latest book called Leadership. John Maxwell said that leaders need to realize that you cannot lead people if you need people. He calls this shift from pleasing people to challenging people. He cites this as one of the early weaknesses of a leader. He said he just really wanted people to follow him. He said, I needed people to follow me. I needed them to be pleased, and I wanted to please them in order to feel like I have validity as a leader. How many of you in this room have had a charge to lead something, and it just seemed like it was just a systems failure? People weren't getting it. They weren't connecting. They just didn't get what you were here to do. I know Moses felt that way, right? As he was leading the children of Israel, and they were just so stubborn. They were just so hard-headed. They just didn't get it. They didn't get what he came here to do, and it was for their own good. It was for their best interest. And so he got frustrated. He got frustrated, and when God told him to do something as simple as what he was supposed to do, he smote this rock, and God got upset, and it caused him not to be able to enter into the promised land. We don't want to be that way. We don't want to be that way. So I want you to catch this in the spirit. The leadership nugget is you have permission to leave some people behind. Before you get left behind, you have permission to leave some people behind. God is going to shift the way that you think about leadership. And it's not about people. It's not about you. It's always about the work. God wants us to shift our paradigm. A paradigm is the way that we think. The mindset of a leader to the mindset of an operative. How many of you know, just show of hands, what an operative is? Okay, just very few of you in the room. So let me give you a general definition of an operative. An operative is an agent or representative who acts on behalf of someone else to ensure the advancement of a person or a group. An operative is skillful, low-key, but highly effective. So many of you know James Bond, right? 007? He was an operative. He was a well-known, fictional character, and he was the central figure of the Secret Intelligence Agency for his work as an intelligence officer. Bond was an operative that was notoriously known by his code 007. And Bond was always on a mission to get the job done. A lot of times we think that leadership means being out front. But God is calling us to lead from behind. In this season, we have to shift the way that we operate. We have to shift the way that we think. A leader doesn't necessarily mean that you're in front and the crowd is following you. Some of the most powerful leaders are operatives. They are skillful, they are power brokers, they are strategic, and they believe that the mission is possible. It's never about them, it's never about the people, it's always about the work. So God is raising up kingdom operatives. The definition of a kingdom operative is someone who is divinely selected by God, which is each and every one of you, who represents him and advances his interests. It's important for an operative to know that they have to be fearless, courageous, and skillful, and no matter what the assignment is, it is time to show up for duty, have a clear mission, not relent, and seek to accomplish his interests in the assignment. God wants us to have this type of mindset. I personally walked through an experience of leadership in this last 365 days. The last time I was here with you, many of you know I was running for office for Franklin County Commissioner. And it was an amazing race. Obviously, you know the outcome of the race. I'm not the Franklin County Commissioner. However, this was a journey, and it's something that God called me to do. And I knew that it was going to be, I knew that just the challenge at hand, it was monumental. I would meet people and they didn't know whether to congratulate me or feel sorry for me because they was like, whoa, you know, you're running for an office that, as a Republican, you're running for an office that in the county has been blue for a long time. And you're running against an incumbent who, quite frankly, has done a decent job. Nobody seems to have any issues with her. And, you know, the county is in good shape. So why should you be running for such an office? Well, I did it because God called me to do it. He called me to do it. And so I set out, thank you. So out of obedience, I set out on this race and I started to just, you know, get to know people and mobilize the community and do lots of meet and greets and all the wonderful things that you do on a campaign. And I worked really, really, really hard. In the end, I earned about 169,000 votes. I was able to take, God bless you, thank you. I was able to win over areas that, quite frankly, Republicans had not been able to win over in ages. I was able to win over the West Side. I was able to, from a county perspective, outperform the governor by 4,000 votes, outperform the state auditor by 8,000 votes. In my own hometown, in my own local town that I live in Canal Winchester, I won every single ward. And I just thank God because he showed me some outcomes. Even though I did not win, I gained. And so I remember just before the election, just before election night, I prayed about a week before the election, and I said, God, I know you called me to do this, but am I going to win? You know, I never asked him when he asked me to run for county commissioner. I never asked him if I was going to win. I just assumed because you called me to do it that, you know, we're going to do this, right? But a week before, it was really on my heart, and I decided, okay, let me just ask God. And so I asked him, I said, God, am I going to win? And his response to me was, you're going to gain. And I said, but am I going to win? And his response was, you're going to gain. And so for the next 48 hours, he started to really deal with me about areas that I was going to gain from this election and from this experience. And I began to get really, really grateful. I had a sense of humility and gratefulness about all of the various things he said that I was going to gain. He was actually taking me through a leadership process. And this, what he told me I was going to gain was credibility, confidence, notoriety, stamina, courage, strength, wisdom, knowledge, understanding, new relationships, new connections, experience, popularity, and favor. That is so much more than being the Franklin County Commissioner. But also, after the election, after I licked my wounds and I said, man, I didn't win. I gained all these things. He started to really deal with me in the book of Deuteronomy chapter 28. And he started to just show me and prepare me for what was next. And he was telling me that I needed to make sure that I lead by his example, that I follow godly leadership principles, and I do not forget the reason that he is about to put me in a new assignment. And so later on down the line, about 2 months later, I got a call that I was being appointed. I was extended an offer to be appointed to by Governor Mike DeWine to be his director of faith-based and community initiatives, for which I accepted, and I am so very grateful. God shifted me from a county perspective where I would have, of course, I'd have immense, you know, opportunity to lead the county and initiatives and things like that, but then God shifted me to a whole nother level in the state where I'm able to now work with churches, faith-based groups, nonprofit organizations, and from a grant-making standpoint, be able to be a blessing to their organization so they can scale the work that they do on a statewide level. And so I'm very, very, very grateful. I'm very grateful to God for the leadership. That's my own personal story. But many of you in this room have been frustrated because of the assignment that God has given you, whether it's your ministry, your church, your job, your role as a mother, a father. You just feel like, God, I'm doing everything that you told me to do, what you called me to do, and I just seem like I'm failing, and I need your help. And the work starts with you. His mandate for your life has not changed. His agenda has not changed, and your assignment has not changed. Many of you are even ready to just give up and say, well, maybe this wasn't it. Maybe I missed it. That's how I felt. I felt maybe I missed it, God, but I knew that he called me to do it. So what do I want you to do? I want you to understand some leadership principles. And we're going to turn to the book of Nehemiah chapter 2 because we're going to see a true biblical example of how God's leadership takes place in action. So Nehemiah, just to summarize, was a cupbearer and he worked for the king. He worked for King Xerxes in the city of Susa. Nehemiah, though, was from Jerusalem. He grew up there, and his ancestors were from the city of Jerusalem. One day, he received bad news from his brother that the province of Judah was in ruins and the gates of Jerusalem were destroyed. This vexed him so much. Jerusalem was his hometown. How could he be working for the king but know that his hometown was in ruins and that there was work that needed to be done? He had a burden on his heart, and he knew that he had to do something. The point is that God used this burden to commission Nehemiah as a kingdom operative to advance God's interest in rebuilding the city. Many of you have something that is a burden that God has placed and arrested your heart, and that is your area that God wants to influence you in. That is the area that he wants you to lead in, and that is the area that he wants you to operate in. But you have to be skillful in your assignment. Someone say shift.
Shift.
Come on, say it again, shift.
Shift.
Nehemiah understood the assignment and what was expected of him. So after he fasted, he prayed, he went to the king and he asked for a leave of absence because he says, I have work to do in my hometown. And the king allowed him to leave. He gave him a release. And so Nehemiah started out back to Jerusalem to pursue the work, and that was building the wall. Oftentimes, God will take you out of a situation just to take you right back in a situation. He will take you out just to take you in. But you need to be ready to go, and you need to know that you're there to advance his initiatives. There are five leadership principles that I've gleaned from the book of Nehemiah that I want to share with you this morning. In the book of Nehemiah, chapter 2, verses 11 and 12, it says, so I came to Jerusalem and was there 3 days, and I arose in the night, and I and some few men with me, neither told I any man what my God had put in my heart to do at Jerusalem. Neither was there any beast with me except the beast that I rode upon. First leadership principle. As leaders, we must have the ability to see what others don't see. We have to have a clear vision of God's purpose and his plan. And sometimes the crowd doesn't see it, but we have to see it. The next one, if you turn to Nehemiah chapter 2, we're going to read from 6 through 8. And the king said unto me, the queen also sitting by him, for how long shall thy journey be? And when wilt thou return? So it pleased the king to send me, and I set him a time. Moreover, I said to the king, if it please the king, let letters be given me to the governors beyond the river, that I may convey me over till I come to Judah. And a letter to Asaph, the keeper of the king's forest, that he may give me timber to make beams for the gates of the palace, which appertain to the house, and for the wall of the city, and for the house that I shall enter into. And the king granted me according to the good hand of my God upon me. Leadership principle number two. As leaders, we must be delegators more than doers. A team player rather than a soloist. A lot of times we get in trouble because we try to just take on the do-it-all ministry, and it just doesn't work. It takes a team, and we have to know how to delegate and not be a soloist in this work. In Nehemiah chapter 3, verse 3, it emphasizes that point. But the fish gate did the sons of Hanassah build, who also laid the beams thereof, and set up the doors thereof, the locks thereof, and the bars thereof. We need to be able to engage people to do the work. We can't do it all. We can't take it all on. The ministry of engagement. Number three, Nehemiah chapter 2, 17 through 18. And it reads, then I said unto them, ye see the distress that we are in, how Jerusalem lieth waste, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. Come, and let us build up the wall of Jerusalem, that we may no more be a reproach. Then I told them of the hand of my God, which was good upon me, as also the king's words that he had spoken to me. And they said, let us raise up and build. So they strengthened their hands for this good work. Leadership principle number three. As leaders, we must scratch followers where they itch. And if they're not itching, we need to challenge them to do so. Nehemiah chapter 4. Starting at verse 1. But it came to pass that when Sanballat heard that we builded the wall, he was wroth, and he took great indignation and mocked the Jews. And he spake before his brethren and the army of Samaria and said, what do these feeble Jews? Will they fortify themselves? Will they sacrifice? Will they make an end in a day? Will they revive the stones of the heaps of the rubbish which are burned? Now Tobiah the Ammonite was by him, and he said, even that which they build, if a fox go up, he shall break down their stone wall. Hear, O God, for we are despised, and turned their reproach upon their own head, and give them for a prey in the land of captivity. And cover not their iniquity, and let not their sin be blotted out from before thee, for they have provoked thee to anger before the builders. So we build the wall, and the wall was joined together unto half thereof, for the people had a mind to work. But it came to pass that when Sanballat and Tobiah and the Arabians and the Ammonites and the Ashdodites heard that the walls of Jerusalem were made up and that the breaches began to be stopped, then they were very wroth. and conspired all of them together to come and fight against Jerusalem and to hinder it. Nevertheless, we made our prayer unto God and set watch against them day and night because of them. And Judah said, the strength of the bearers of burdens is decayed, and there is much rubbish, so that we are not able to build the wall. Leadership principle number 4. As leaders, we must be stubborn and open-minded at the same time. We need to refuse to throw in the towel or drop out of the race, view the opposition as part of the leadership challenge, and be characterized by our courage. Nehemiah chapter 13. Starting at verse 8. And it grieved me sore, therefore I cast forth all the household stuff of Tobiah out of the chamber. Then I commanded, and they cleansed the chambers, and thither brought I again the vessels of the house of God with the meat offering and the frankincense. And I perceived that the portion of the Levites had not been given them, for the Levites and the singers that did the work were fled, every one to his field. Then I contended, I with the rulers, and said, why is the house of God forsaken? And I gathered them together and set them in their place. Skip down to verse 23. In those days also I saw, I Jews that had married wives of Ashdod, of Ammon, and of Moab. And their children spake half in the speech of Ashdod, and could not speak in the Jews' language, but according to the language of each of the people. Leadership principle number 5. Nehemiah had God-given convictions and commitments that he would not compromise no matter what or no matter who. Integrity triumphs expediency. Scripture triumphs culture. And biblical conviction triumphs opinion. In closing, God wants us to change our mindset as leaders so that we can operate more effectively in our God-given assignments. Allow God to show you the areas where he wants you to make adjustments. Not just adjustments in your ministry, not just adjustments in your assignments, but adjustments in the way that you think about your leadership. How many of you today could really use a leader shift? Amen. 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 Let us pray. Dear Lord, we thank you for the message. Lord, we just ask that you will strengthen us, O God, encourage us, O God. Help us to make the necessary adjustments, to lead your people, to be effective in our assignments, to be clear about the mission, and to make sure that it gets accomplished. We thank you, O God, that you've given the assignment to us, and so that you are for us. The Bible says, if God be for us, who can be against us? And Lord, we just thank you, O God, for your word. We thank you, O God, for your message. And we ask that you help us shift in this season so that we can accomplish your good and perfect will. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Michelle. It's a good word. I just had a word for some people here, and the word was frustration. Sense like maybe you're listening to what Michelle was saying, and maybe you've just been frustrated in life. You know, wherever that is, whether that's at home, whether that's at school, whether that's at work, there's just frustration, and you just don't seem like you're breaking through. Does that speak to anybody here? Just frustrated in life. Woo! Well, I wish I had the answer. I do. Hold your hands up if that speaks to you. This is what I believe the Lord wants you to know. Get into his word. My people are frustrated because they're not in my word. Amen? I'm telling you, that's the life changer that you need. We go through life as believers in Jesus, but we're not empowered by the word that he's given us. And if we get into his word, we will begin to understand what it is that he wants us to do, the areas that he wants us to move in. And so I just want to bless that. And also, just kind of as a maybe just a little nugget for you, just this is what I felt like the Lord wanted me to say, is Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Just read the Gospels. Read the Gospels, and as you're reading, listen to the Lord. And he will speak to that frustration, and he will give you an answer. Amen? Let's pray over that. Lord God, I want to bless that. I want to bless those hands that were raised, God. And I rebuke that frustration, God. I speak life into their spirits, God. I speak the obedience and the discipline to get into your word, Jesus. And not just read it searching for answers, but to read it listening for your voice. That communion between us and our King would be made. And I promise you, the answers you're looking for will be found. And we thank you for that. And then just one more thing is, maybe you're here today, somebody invited you, maybe you're here today, you've been coming for a while, maybe you just feel something changing inside. And you know, what you're feeling is the Lord, is Jesus calling you into his kingdom. And so just like before when I asked people to raise their hands, I know that it kind of puts you out there and it might be kind of hard to do. But if you're feeling that stirring, like a change in life is needed, I promise you, Jesus can bring that change. So if you're here today and that speaks to you, can I see your hand? Is there anybody here today that is feeling, amen, brother, thank you. Anybody else have a hand that needs a change in life? Is there anybody else? Let me see your hands. Thank you, sir. Anybody else in the back there? Amen. Anybody else? Change of life. Thank you, brother. Anybody else? Raise your hand. Raise your hand. This is life-changing stuff here. We don't just come to church just to have fun, even though we have fun, but we come to church to spend time with our Savior and other believers. So those of you that raised your hand, just say this simple prayer with me. Lord Jesus, thank you for reaching into my life and helping me to make that change. From here on out, I want to go through life with you by my side. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Woo! Amen. Hey, if you raised your hand and said that prayer, we have some people at the back table there that have something for you, will help you with that change, and just give you a little bit of information about that newfound life. Amen? So at this time, I'd like to invite up Pastor Ulrich and Michelle, if you guys have anything for the church here.
Come on, clap your hands, everybody. Come on, clap those hands. Mama Jenny, where you at, Mama Jenny? Mama Jenny? Amen. I love what Brother Chip said. He said, for those of you who are frustrated, I thought about a cross-reference scripture in the book of Ezra 4:4. The Bible says that they hire counselors to frustrate their purpose. And what that means for those of you who are carrying the anointing, those who are getting ready for the leadership, is that God, when God calls your name, somebody say, when God calls your name, watch this, the enemy will hire counselors to frustrate your purpose. Nothing is more important than your purpose. Many of us have agendas, but God has given us an assignment. Last thing I'm going to say, Brother Chip said something else. For those of you who raised your hand, I was talking to my elder the other day, and you can only be in two dimensions. Somebody say two dimensions. Somebody say two dimensions. I wish y'all would talk to me here. Somebody say two dimensions. Watch this. Either you need to change or you need a chance. And so when my wife was up here preaching, when she talked about Nehemiah, either you got to make a change or you need a... Somebody say amen. Amen. I feel like I'm at a library. Say amen. Amen. Did she not do a wonderful job? Come on, clap your hands. to the most amazing woman I've ever met. Good to see you, Daddy. I see you, Mama Jenny. I love you. Where's my brother from another mother, Dion? Amen. All right, I'm done.
Woo! Amen. Let's close out.